Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, indeed. And this morning I am joined from the U of M. Mary Meyer is back with us answering those lawn and garden questions, as we like to do every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, thanks to folks like Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Denny. Great to be here and talk about gardening. Even though we have some snow, we are thinking about what we can do in the next coming weeks, right?
But I think the good news, at least what I was looking at, I wish I had the map in front of me, a weather kind of related map showing that our drought areas have kind of subsided, thank goodness, a little bit because
of this. This is really wonderful. So hopefully we'll be able to recharge that ground with moisture, and that will mean life for many of our plants.
Boy.
So certainly anything we planted last year, it was touch and go, and we had to really be watering. But yes, this amount of snow is really helpful, and rain. For us to have so much rain in the winter, really unusual, but helpful for plants, yes.
And it's kind of good, in looking at this week's forecast, it's kind of good because we're not getting like suddenly 50 degrees for 3 days and, you know, suddenly a lot of melting. It's kind of a gradual thing. So that's positive. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and you're a regular listener to the Smart Garden Show, you know how busy we tend to get this hour. So by all means, don't wait. Give us a call. Give Mary a call if you want to chat with her. We'd love to hear your voice. Or if it's easier for you, send a text like a lot of folks do as well. Either way, same number, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Well, what's up with your garden? What are your plans now as we move
through, we're
into March now. Here it is, March.
We're into March, and this is seed starting time. So I have I'm accumulating containers to start seeds in. I like to do some winter sowing, which is actually putting some of our cool season crops, cabbage, lettuce, kale, radishes, sowing those seeds and actually putting them outside. And we have directions about how to do this on our extension website. And then they will actually germinate as the weather conditions are suitable, and you'll have seeds ready to go. So starting seeds is something you could do. I was at a garden center this past week and started purchasing seeds. You remember a few years ago, there was actually a shortage of vegetable seeds especially, but I don't anticipate any shortages, but you do get the best selection of certain varieties when you go to garden centers now to actually look for seed. And of course, many people buy seed through the mail order catalogs as well. So the other information that's just come out from the Master Gardeners are the recommended varieties. Master Gardeners do test varieties of vegetables and flowers in Minnesota every year, and those most recent recommendations for varieties that did well by, you know, fellow gardeners here in Minnesota, that's up now on the Extension website as well. And then there are classes. There are many classes you can go to. The Hennepin County Master Gardeners has some free vegetable and seed starting 101 classes. So lots of things gardeners can do to prepare for the big season coming up.
And these, you mentioned the classes, and we like to talk about that. Those are generally, those are online, right? You don't have to drive many, anywhere, right?
Yes, many classes are online through Hennepin County. Master Gardeners have some. The Arboretum has a long list. And then the Minnesota State Horticulture Society, they have a lot of classes as well. And this weekend, today and tomorrow, the last days for the flower show out at the Arboretum and the Home and Garden Show is in
yes.
town. So, wow, yeah, lots to do.
Now, you're talking just a few minutes ago about getting seeds started. And I remember you and your colleagues talking about using cutting off the tops of water, like gallon
jugs
of water.
Yeah.
Milk jugs,
water
yeah.
jugs, milk jugs, yes.
How does that work?
It's cool because you kind of cut it in half. You can leave a little hinge on so the top is still attached. But you have this plastic bottom that you put holes in that, put a couple inches of potting soil in, put your seeds in, and then you can put the top back on. You can tape it with some duct tape or other tape. But this creates like a mini greenhouse. And this is what I then put outside. I put it in the south side of my house. And when the sun comes out, makes that a mini greenhouse, warms it up, it stays moist. And then if nothing happens for 2 or 3 weeks, that's fine. But once it gets warm enough, those cool season crops will start to grow. And then you'll have those small plants that you can transplant then and either continue to grow in larger containers inside or outside when the snow is gone.
Sounds kind of fun. I'd like to try that.
It's a lot of fun, yes.
Yeah. Let's grab a phone call or two before we take a quick break. I think Mary is calling in from Bloomington today. Mary, good morning. You're on Smart Garden with Mary.
Hi. I love your show, but I just have a question about we plant a vegetable garden and always plant the Chantenay carrots. It's a shorter, fatter carrot, a very good keeper. And last year when I planted them, I thin them out to the 2 inches, and we water the garden with rainwater. And when I dug the carrots up in the fall, it was very obvious that it was one carrot. You know, you could tell by the carrot top. But I'd say probably a quarter of the carrots had all these little appendages that almost looked like baby carrots growing out from the side, and they were a little bit bigger than baby. Had all these little appendages that almost looked like baby carrots growing out from the side, and they were a little bit bigger than baby carrots. So anyway, I was wondering what caused that. We use rainwater to water the garden. If I watered it too much or not enough, or what could cause that to happen?
I don't think that's related to watering, Mary. And as long as you had the right seed, the variety, that's an important thing to go with carrots. The most important thing in growing carrots is you have to have a well-drained, loose, fertile soil. So heavy clay soils are very difficult to get a good crop of carrots. The sandier soils, light soils, so that those roots can easily grow down with no impediment, is really important. So I guess I would recommend that you really try to do deep tilling or till down about a foot, if possible, where you're going to sow your carrot seeds. So the soil is really loose and lightweight. Carrots don't like a lot of moisture. They need sufficient, but they don't like wet soils as well. So I would try not to overwater them, but basically try to just make sure you have a really loose seed bed that you're planting them in so they can grow freely. And I would again go with that same variety. That you're right, that's a stubbier variety. It is shorter. I think it's quite sweet, but good luck.
Yeah, great. Let's take a quick break, Mary. We'll come back. We'll answer more lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, well, we got one more degree from last hour, 27 now. We're heading to near 37 today, and it's going to be kind of a windy next couple of days or so. But right now, 27 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on Saturday morning on CCR, every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for you today, either by phone or by text as usual. And that number to get to Mary, 651-461-9226. Mary, and as usual, we have callers and we have texters, so let's get to it. I think John's calling in from Menominee this morning. John, thank you for waiting. What is your question for Mary?
Yes, good morning. I have a dogwood bush that needs some trimming. I was wondering, is this a good time right now to trim, and how low can I trim it down?
Yes, John, this is a good time to do that. You can do a lot of trimming on that dogwood. Some people regularly cut their dogwoods down, especially if you have ones that have the beautiful red or green or yellow bark on those. The new growth has the best coloring, so some people trim them on a regular basis just to have the beautiful new shoots. So you can cut it down to 6 inches, and it will grow back again. So dogwood, one of our great native shrubs, especially good for wet soil conditions, but wonderful plant to have in your landscape.
Very good. Thank you, John. Let's go to Ramsey. Karen is on the horn calling in a question for you, Mary. Hi, Karen. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a Mohegan viburnum. I think I'm saying that right. And I'm just wondering if I should be trimming that each year and if this is a good time.
It really depends on how big you want the plant to get. So that's a viburnum that will get to be 10 feet tall, maybe 12 even. But yes, you can prune it right now if you want to. If you're interested in the flowers, I would wait until after the flowers come on it this spring to prune it then. Some viburnum have much more conspicuous flowers than others. So if your main goal is just make it smaller in size, you can do that right now. But you don't really have to prune of this viburnum. It is not a shrub that requires pruning. It can get quite large. Most viburnums are great for many insects that will feed on the foliage, as well as pollinators that do like the flowers.
We were talking about seeds, and when we began the show, Mary, here's a fun question for you from a text. What are easy ways and seeds to have very young children plant indoors and later outdoors for a garden? Or should the kids just wait and help plant the garden? But either way, it's a great idea.
It's a great idea, and I think really you should probably do both. With kids, the easiest thing is if you start with large seeds, so sunflower seeds, marigolds, zinnias, cosmos, calendulas, those are all seeds that are fairly large and you can pick up with your fingers and see. Calendulas, their seeds are in the shape of the letter C, and so they have a kind of funny look to the seed. Calendulas are easy to grow. They tolerate cool conditions. And pretty much all the ones I listed, zinnias, sunflowers, marigolds, they come up quickly. So within a week, you can see them. Many people like to start beans as well, just the regular garden beans, because they will grow quickly. So all of these I mentioned, like a week after you sow the seed, you're going to have a little plant. And of course, we're not going to be able to put it outside in a week from now. So that's why it's kind of a challenge to start really early. Then you've got to put these in bright sunshine indoors. But I would try both. I'd start indoors as well as get ready to do them in the garden when we can at the end of May.
And good for you for doing that. That's perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This listener, Mary, lives on a third floor, and they love their flowers on the on their balcony. But unfortunately, they have a lot of yellow jackets that are attracted. I don't know if there are certain types of plants or flowers that would not attract them. I didn't realize they were just attracted to flowers. I thought it was more like sweets and stuff.
I think that it is, Denny. But of course, the pollinators are insects,
yeah.
And those insects, really, they are more interested in food sources. They're not interested in us so much and stinging us. They're interested in food, and often that is sugar or some source of protein or carbohydrates. So I would say no matter anything that flowers is going to attract the pollinators. And I would, I don't think you're going to avoid that unless you go with something that's like the typical indoor houseplants like ficus, the Norfolk Island pine, things that don't have flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You will always be attracting insects. So I think it's more of an issue of learning to live with them and just understanding that, because that they're pretty much always going to be there.
Another listener, Mary, would like you to address a couple of spring steps for roses, specifically shrub roses. Any tips for taking care of those?
I usually wait until the shrub roses have started to grow in the spring. Their buds have started to swell, so I can see what's alive and what's dead. And then I prune off anything that's brown and dead. Many of our shrub roses that we can grow now here in Minnesota will have a foot or two of good, healthy stems on them and buds, so that it really varies. This winter, they're probably totally under the snow, so maybe the winter injury won't be so much. But as soon as you can tell what's dead and alive, what's brown versus green, then prune it back to what's alive.
This listener sent a text about he or she purchased a good number of things like lilies, cannas at the Home and Garden Show, dahlias. They say, I understand that I need to store them in my fridge till ready to plant. I have no room to do that. Can I keep them in my unheated garage? It's usually 10 degrees warmer than the outside air. Thank you for that.
Yeah, 40 degrees is kind of the temperature you're looking for here to hold these at. So I would say 40 degrees. Another way you can create this is if you put these into a large container of potting soil. You know, that will make some type of an insulated barrier. But you want to keep them cool. You know, if you've got potting soil and pots, you can actually put some of these things in pots so that you're actually planting them. But again, you want to keep them, you don't want it to go much below 30 degrees ever. And so 40 degrees is the temperature you're looking for. So you could try to put them out there with a thermometer on them, but you don't have to plant them yet, but keeping them in your fridge is the best thing to do. Yeah, that's sure. It's kind of hard. Buy a little fridge. Would you consider that? Buy a little refrigerator.
A little dormitory fridge or something. Yeah. All right, Mary, we'll take a quick break here for the forecast. We'll see what the weather's going to be looking like this coming week and the rest of the weekend. We'll do that, and we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show coming up on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions for you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. We've got a bunch of text messages, Mary, but before we do that, I know we always like to talk about the Arboretum, and let's do that. But I guess we can maybe kind of make an early welcome to a new director there.
Yes, Denny just announced yesterday, right, was the new director for the Arboretum. He'll be starting May 1st. So, gosh, Pete Moe has been such a solid and wonderful director and advanced the Arboretum for many years. But Pete has decided to retire, and the new person, Andrew Gapinski from Arnold Arboretum, will be starting May 1st. So it's exciting times for the Arboretum. And the flower show has been extended there through tomorrow.
Ah.
So if you didn't get to see it because the snowstorm canceled so many things this winter, it's extended through tomorrow. So beautiful display, just so many bright colors. Lots of ideas for containers and looking at a stumpery. There's a stumpery in the Great Hall out at the Arboretum. So lots of gardening ideas and just beautiful fragrance and smells. There's also a full moon hike coming up on Tuesday evening out at the Arboretum. So lots of events going on. Little icy on the trails. I mean, is there anywhere that it is not icy in Minnesota now? It's so frustrating.
Well, if you're talking about a full moon on Tuesday, it looks like it's going to be relatively clear. So that'd be looking at the forecast now. So that might be perfect timing.
Yes.
But, and again, if you're going to head out to the Arboretum, you said it's carrying over one more day tomorrow, the flower show.
Yes, right? For the flower show. So if you didn't see it, a great opportunity to do that. Most people still need to get reservations, but easy to do. Just a couple clicks online to reserve your time. Make sure there's no no parking issues or anything. So great to think about spring. We'll see that indoor flower show at the Arboretum.
Absolutely. You're going to love it. And you'll be a repeat customer, no doubt.
Yes.
Let's take a phone call. I think Brenda is calling in this morning from Plymouth, and we'll grab some text messages. Hi, Brenda. What's your question for Mary?
Good morning. I always put my large peony bush back in the fall. I cut it all the way down. This year, time just got away from me. Snow came early, and I didn't do it. Am I going to have any issues, do you think, this spring?
Brenda, I had a little trouble hearing you, but I think you said peony, right?
Yes, I usually cut it back in the fall, and time got away from me this last year, and I didn't do it, and I'm a little concerned about that.
No problem with your peony. We do recommend cutting that back in the fall to remove botrytis blight. That's often a fungal disease that will be on the foliage by the fall of the year. But no, you should be fine. You should be fine this year. Peonies are one of our long-lived perennials that love the cold weather of the north. So our friends in the south cannot grow peonies, but we can, and they usually will outlive us.
Yeah, that's true. And I remember, do they not have real lengthy roots?
They do. They have big, thick roots. If they're fairly old, your forearm is the size of the roots of a peony. So it's hard to even dig them up and transplant them. They, it's hard to get all of them. You get a chunk of them, and then you'll find your peony is still growing out there because some of the root was in the ground.
Yeah, they're tough for sure. Listener wants to know, Mary, is it a good time to prune or trim leaf trees, ash, apple, maple, locust, et cetera?
Yes, it is. The dormant season, we're still in through March, is a good time to do any pruning, especially on oaks. This is our last month of the winter for oaks, because once we get into April, there's more activity with insects and transmission of oak wilt. But all pruning can be done now with dormant trees. Fruit trees, apples, pears, things like that, it's a good time to prune them as well.
Okay. Good morning. This texter says, love the show. Thank you. Can a potted Diffenbachia plant be split into two separate sections and repotted into two pots with fresh potting soil, is the question.
If you have two stems, so you got to have a big stem, two stems growing on the top, then you can divide that with one stem in each of your two new pots. If you've only got one stem, cutting that in half, no, that's not going to work. But two stems, yes, you can do that. And, you know, there are so many houseplants now on the market. And if you've got a big house, if you've got really good light and your houseplants are growing, that's gotten to be a common question we get now, is division of these big houseplants that get to be several feet tall. So if you've got two stems on a Diefenbachia, go for it.
Okay. This listener says, a fire burned under and close to our row of evergreens. Now they're slowly turning brown. Have we lost them, is one question. And the other one is, can we replant in the same area if we have to remove them?
Wow, yeah, that's hard to tell how hot that got. And right, with time, that's when it's going to show up, with the lower branches really being brown. So I would, you know, wait and see if fire was last year. I would go through maybe June of this year and see how much new growth comes out and what's dead. And if it's not acceptable with the amount that's dead and you need to replace the trees, you can replant in the same area. Of course, there's going to be a lot of roots there. But if you just stagger the new plants that you put in, try not to put them exactly where the other ones were, you can do that as long as you can dig a space in there big enough to get the root ball in of the new plants. The older roots will deteriorate on their own.
If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those lawn and garden questions on our Smart Garden Show today. Here's another text, Mary, from Brooklyn Park. I planted a fire willow shrub last fall and put a small fence around it to protect it from munching critters. With the deep snow now, the fence isn't too far above the snow level. Anything else I can do to discourage the munching from the deer and rabbits?
Boy, the only thing I can say is just, if possible, increase the height of your fence. Rabbits are just notorious for what they will go after. They seem to like a lot of the willows. I have had such problems getting pussy willows established because even with protection, they tend to knock over the wire and everything to get at some of the willows. So if you can just put more barrier on top of the snow to keep the rabbits away from it, they're voracious in what they go after.
Oh boy, that's for sure. Deer too. Let's grab a phone call. I think Chloe is on the horn, calling in from St. Paul this morning. Chloe, thank you. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
Good morning. I have a honeysuckle and also a trumpet vine, and I'm wondering if how late can in the spring can I trim it? Because right now there's so much snow, I can't get to them.
You're always at risk of taking off the flowers when you prune them in early spring. So I would wait until after they flower to actually do the pruning. But having said that, both of these vines can get to be very big and very vigorous. So if you don't mind sacrificing the flowers, as soon as you get to them, I would do that. I'd try to do it before the 1st of July. If you can do it before the 1st of July, that's the best time.
Okay. Getting a signal, Mary. We need to take a quick break, and we have more show to come. Lots more text messages for folks to help the folks out. And when we come back, Mary, let's do this. I think there is a question about someone looking for a suggestion for some trees. I think we should mention the U of M website when we come back.
Yes.
It's a great resource. We'll do that, among other things, here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M. And Mary, I know we always like to mention that great website, that there's so much information you and your colleagues have put into that, extension.umn.edu. What are some of the things that we can find there? So many.
Yes, so many, as you said, Denny. Lots of information. We try to have a lot timely information for right now for what you should be doing in March with your garden. But the resources are many. What weed is this? What insect is this? And then recommendations for difficult planting areas, dry shade conditions, new trees, if you want to plant. Which tree should you plant? Julie Weisenhorn has developed a database online for landscape plants that you can search and put parameters in for the height you want, flowering time, the height of the plant you're looking for. So just a huge number of wonderful resources that are up there. And they're really specific for Minnesota. They're for northern Minnesota as well as the Twin Cities, but they're specific really for our climate. So, yes, a tremendous amount of information.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, but I think that's one of the top extension websites in the country.
Yes,
at least it is in my book.
Well, the number of hits that it gets, the number of people that look at it, the gardening pages are very popular part of the Extension website. There's so many people that come back to them looking for information, and they often, the Extension websites come up on search engines for when you put in the name of a plant and a problem, you often will get those. So, yes, they are very popular.
Very popular. Mary, this listener says, I will have a raised bed for vegetables for the first time. I've seen raised bed soil for sale. Do you think that's the right type of soil to buy, or should I work a little of it into the ground also before I set the frame in place?
My experience with those bags of raised bed soils is that they're pretty heavy. They're pretty heavy, and they're very coarse textured. And it's hard to figure out kind of what really is in those. There might be some mineral soil, which would be ground, you know, regular topsoil, that's in them as well. They are definitely for outdoor use. Many times, if you know that your soil is not contaminated with any heavy metals or any pollutants, it is actually fine to use our mineral soils. We tend to have heavier clay soils, but if you mix some of that in with some purchased soil, which tends to not have mineral soil, that's a good thing to do. The basic premise of raised beds is you have better air, better oxygen, and water holding capacity than a lot of our native soils. So using commercial potting soil, specifically raised bed soils, usually is a good idea.
Okay. This listener might be a good candidate to check out the U of M website. It says, help. Necessity requires that I have my 40-year-old river birch removed. Through my tears, I will be writing down any suggestions you might have for a replacement. It's a 40-foot focal point for the center of the yard, gave perfect shade and a little mess. Thank you for whatever you can suggest. But what do you think, Mary?
Oh, river birch is a beautiful plant. I'm sorry that you have to have that removed. It's one of the plants I do recommend a lot. But I would say based on go for diversity. If you If you don't have an oak, I'm a big fan of oaks. Oaks are one of the plants that support the greatest diversity of insects, Lepidoptera, caterpillars, and so on. Oaks are not necessarily slow growing. When you plant them as young plants, they will do just fine. A honey locust, hackberry, and then the disease-resistant elms. Those are all good choices. Those are all native in Minnesota. They're tough plants. And they will take that sun and full kind of a drier situation that it seems like this was growing out in the middle of a lawn area. A maple might work, but maples tend to like moister soil conditions and a little bit more perhaps protection. So, but again, at the website, you can look up many recommendations. You can see pictures of these different trees. So I'd think about diversity. What else is already on your property and plant a different kind of tree?
Okay, good idea. A couple of minutes to go, Mary, in the show. This listener says, I'd like to plant sunflowers around the house. Any seed better than another or best location?
Sunflowers need full sun conditions, and if you plant them up near the house, you'll find that they're going to kind of lean or grow away from the house. So just as much sun as possible. There are many, many kinds of sunflowers now that you can buy, from the big one-stem mammoth ones to ones that have branching, specifically are grown for branching, and many smaller heads. So if you look at the seed packets in a store or in seed catalogs online, you'll see just hundreds of different kinds. So sunflowers are really great for attracting pollinators, and certainly the birds love them. They tend to know when the seed's ripe before we do.
You know, we've got, it looks like about a minute or so to go, so we really can't attack any more text or phone calls, so we appreciate your patience on that. Mary, let's do this. Let's mention again the U of M website and then the Arboretum, how to get to the Arboretum. We didn't mention that earlier, but give us the website again.
extension.umn.edu, and then click on Yard and Garden. There's a search engine there, but also many topics. So all of your spring gardening questions can be answered online at extension.umn.edu.
And you mentioned the Arboretum. You need to go online to make a reservation. It makes parking real easy, by the way, doing
that. Yes, it does. And when you go online, you can see what events are happening there. But the Arboretum is west of the cities. You go west on 5, just after the junction of 41 and 5. You'll see the entrance into the Arboretum. And as I said, the flower show has 2 more days. This ends tomorrow.
Perfect time, perfect time. Great weather. You want to get out there. Mary, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your help. Let's do this again when you have a chance.
Yes, thank you, Denny.
Very good. Mary Meyer from the U of M. And just a reminder, coming up next hour, get those home improvement questions ready. You can do that very thing, but specifically decks and decking and porches. Luke Panic will be on next hour filling in for Andy Lindis. And any kind of a home improvement question you may have. That's next hour here on WCCO. Mostly cloudy at the moment. We do hope to see sunshine later. Our current CCO temperature reading, 27 degrees.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!